You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrash and Cole, back with another block rockin' edition of the Toilet Hall Radio Show. With me, I've got my wonderful co-hosts, 365 Days of Horror. How's it going, 365?
It's me, 365 Days of Horror.
You know, I only pretend to call you 365 for like the first 10 seconds of the show, and then I immediately revert to calling you Jordan. So maybe we should just call you Jordan.
At this point, it's fine. We're done with anonymity, and we've doxed ourselves so much that people now message us directly and threaten us with specifics of our lives that like we don't even remember talking about.
Yeah, that's fair, man. Same thing with Kit and Pat. They don't pretend to go by Lacertilian or Leif Barrickson anymore. They're just like, it's Kit and Pat.
Well, that sounds like such a delightful after-school special. It's Kit and Pat.
Mm-hmm. They have really cute names for very cute boys.
We are missing one of our cute boys, though, this week.
That is true. It is with a heavy heart that I report that our co-host Brennicide, otherwise known as Brendan, is down with a sickness. I don't know exactly what happened to our boy. He started a new job and then immediately came down with something, which is incredibly unfortunate, but also how I feel about going to work at any new job.
Well, you do come back from another country and all of a sudden he's sick, so maybe he caught a little bit of Joe fever.
It's entirely possible. We did spend a lot of time in each other's physical presence.
It was either that or just eating junk food for 3 weeks while you were gone.
That too. He said on every episode that I was gone, like, I'm eating so much ice cream. And you know what? He could be cumulative effect of lactose intolerance or something.
He made himself lactose intolerant.
I think it's possible, to be honest with you.
I will not accept any intolerance on this podcast. We're going to force feed him ice cream and cheese and milk until he accepts it.
Yeah, that's true. We are on the record as being anti-intolerance on this particular program. So we have to live our morals and set it up like that Treehouse of Horror episode where we force feed cookie witches to Brenna.
There is no wiggle room in this. It's like Twitter. You cannot be different from what I think at all, ever.
Lots of shit has happened this week, but that is a total fucking lie.
It's an oddly quiet week, which is good, but we still managed to find things to talk about, which is also good. It's not just us sitting in an uncomfortable silence for an hour and then saying, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, that's the bonus episode. Hey, subscribe to us on Patreon. We found a number of incredibly silly things lurking within the metal sphere, and I think it's worth exploring some of those things. In the meantime, has anything been going on in your life?
It's been thankfully quiet. Work is work. That's about it. I've kept to my New Year's Eve resolution of like not going to a lot of shows so far, although I think that's going to change in the summer months a little bit. But last year I went to like 25-30 shows, and I don't think I've gone to any this year other than ones I've played, and it's actually really nice. It's nice to save my back and my knees and, you know, money.
Yeah, that's fair. You just reminded me that I actually need to talk to the Austin Terror Fest guy. We said that we were going to do something with them, and oops, it slipped my mind what with all that stuff going on. So we might actually be talking to them pretty soon.
Surprise interview.
Yep. That's good. I got back from Japan, and then I went to work for 3 days, and then immediately got back on another airplane. Went to Washington, D.C. to see one of my best and oldest friends get married to a lovely lady. And I'm very, very happy for him. And I'm very happy that we got to spend a lot of time together and drink a lot of Natty Bows.
Did he come to your wedding?
He did. He did.
Okay, so it's a little tit for tat sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah. No, it's funny. My two best, friends that I see physically a lot, we all got married within about a span of a month from each other.
And then your cycles are going to sync up.
Yeah. Wait, what does that mean?
And then wolves are going to attack you if you're in the woods.
Oh, that's fair. In the meantime, I met a lot of his friends that I had never met before in DC because he's been living out there for, you know, I don't know, almost a decade now. And I had a weird moment of cognitive dissonance. And I met one of his friends who was just like the coolest dude, and I had such a great time talking to him. And then I realized he was a cop.
Did your skin start to sizzle? Did you yell up to the heavens?
I started questioning a lot of things, but not to like dox the guy or anything like that. But I think I met one of the only good cops.
Are you gonna have to get your "all cops are bad" tramp stamp removed now?
No, I'm just going to alter a little bit. I'm going to put an X on the A in my A cab and change it to an S. Some cops
are Well, there you go. It was a life-changing experience for you.
I think it was Weekend Nachos that put out that song on their last record before they broke up, Scab. I don't agree with... The lyrics on that one are weird, but it's a good song. back to getting away from real life things and talking about those things that are a lot of fun on the internet. You melted a lot of brains this week.
Unintentionally, I might add. If anyone likes the Toilet of Hell Facebook page or follows us on Twitter, you will notice from time to time silly memes being posted. I create 99.9% of them. This one included. This was based off the Aftershock Festival that was announced, I think, earlier this week or the end of last week, taking place in Sacramento in October over 3 days. And the festival itself is like all of these American festivals that you see pop up, Carolina Rebellion or whatever. They all kind of have the same bands all the time, and it just moves around. It's like a tour without being called a tour. And this one included...
Yeah, basically, what is that? It's like Midwest Metal Fest, like whatever year it is, whatever batch of bands that we can have, going from Rockdale to Ogdenville to whatever...
North Haverbrook.
Yeah, by gum, that put it on the map.
Yeah, it's like Monster Energy Drink-sponsored American rock metal festivals that almost always have the same headliners, almost always have the same underneath bands. Like, I think this year last year was big on like Alien Weaponry was always on them. The Fever 333 was always on them. Amigo the Devil, who we both like, is on a bunch of them. And then you just kind of have a lot of the same headliners. This Aftershock Festival caught my attention specifically because of the headliners and the fact that it felt like it was very 2002. The headliners are Slipknot, Stained, who this is like their big return. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was billed on the poster as the triumphant return of Stained. I guess because our boy got sick of getting booed off the stage doing his solo performances.
Were people clamoring for a return of Stained?
Honestly, probably. people love Stained. If you go to a certain kind of bar around 1 a.m. and you put on "It's Been a While," you're going to see some teary-eyed bros.
Because I'm fucked up because you are. Like, I don't know. I can understand maybe a reunion tour playing mid-level venues, but it seems like a headlining set on a big festival feels odd to me, but what do I know? The second day of this fest, the headliners are Blink-182 and Rob Zombie.
Wow. That's a throwback, man.
And Sunday, the headliners are Tool and Korn.
Man, this is basically all the shit that played on the local rock radio station when I was like in junior high.
Yeah, it's junior high school for, I think, a lot of people that listen to this show and just really anyone in their late 20s and early to mid 30s. It's straight out of that. So it's obvious what they're going for with this festival. I mean, you also have like Andrew W.K. is also playing and Marilyn Manson. So it's pretty obvious what they want. And then they tack on newer and younger bands, I guess, to get younger people to come. But I don't know. So I saw these headlines, or these headliners rather, and I went, well, it sounds like 2002. Let me throw on just every 2002 band I can think of. So it's just a lot of known and obscure new metal bands. I did, unfortunately, I knew that this was going to happen afterwards. I forgot a couple bands that should have been on there. And the worst part is I had them on and then took them off because it like wasn't fitting with Photoshop, and then just went, who was there? Oh, well, I'll remember later, and then didn't. But anyway, it's so like a big new.
Do you remember any of the forgotten bands?
Power Man 5000. Of and course. I know.
I put
five. I screwed up. I feel bad about it.
I even put Power Man 5000 on one of our last bonus shows.
I know I screwed up. I apologize. But yeah, it's just a silly poster with obscure new metal bands, Pressure 4-5, Switched, you know, Earshot, that sort of thing.
There were a lot of bands on there that those are deep cuts, man. Nobody can fuck with your knowledge of new metal.
If only I could use that power for good, because this was clearly evil for some people, because we just put it out there, and to me, it seemed like obviously fake and like an obvious joke. Like, this wouldn't possibly exist. A lot of these bands broke up decade ago, haven't existed for a long time. Some of these bands have members that are no longer alive. And to me, it was obviously fake, but a more than small amount of people saw it and went, like, fuck yes, I'm going. I'm buying a ticket. Yo, we got to go to this. And not all of them realized later that it wasn't real. A lot of them missed the Toilet of Hell watermark that I put on all of these things.
It was very, very subtle on this one.
It was subtle. I admit it was subtle, with the exception of on the final day in very small print, I also included Papa Roach and Kid Rock, which I figured could tip people off. But it wasn't obvious enough, which makes me think that if we ever put together our own festival, we should follow this model. And I think a lot of dudes in their 30s would actually make the trip to see Factory 81 and Godhead.
Yeah, I think that we have a test case for a business model here. Basically, New Metal Revival Fest 2K20. And I don't know, where do you have this? Like Cave-In Rock, Illinois, or something like that?
Yeah, I think you have to have it somewhere in the Midwest. Not completely in the middle of nowhere. Still close enough to like a real city, but somewhere out there, probably Illinois, maybe Indiana, maybe Ohio.
What is the exact geographic center of the country, like the one point, because that's where we have to have this?
Well, I think the actual middle of the country is somewhere weird like Wyoming, just because it's like such big states out west that it actually like pushes towards the geographic center.
I don't know. That could be a lot of fun. Might be a little difficult to get lodging for 100,000 bros in Wyoming, but, you know, we can offer tents or something.
Well, I think the good thing is a lot of these bands would be real cheap to book.
It's worth a shot, man. I know that, like, Orgy is just itching to play a show.
They tour so much. They're, like, constantly on the road. And it's like, we can probably whip up a few decent sandwiches and they'll play.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun for me to see people that, like, I don't even necessarily know sharing this and, like, being like, what is this? Or I'm really excited to go to this. I spoiled the fun for a couple of people. But for others, I think that you might have unintentionally sold hundreds of tickets to this festival.
Well, if people buy tickets after looking at the poster and not, like, looking at the website where they're buying it from, then they deserve what they get.
I mean, I'm just saying we deserve a cut.
Yes, absolutely.
What is this? Aftershock, Carolina Rebellion, Rockfest, whatever it is. All of them should follow your business model for next year.
I mean, a lot of these unscrupulous promoters, especially local ones, kind of do this anyway. They just book a couple of washed up headliners and then they cram on a bunch of locals and hey, you got yourself a festival.
My favorite thing about this is when they require local bands to, like, play a battle of bands where they just sell tickets so they can win, like, the 1 a.m. slot on a Wednesday at these kinds of things.
Yeah, Warped Tour used to do that all the time. I had friends that would do it every year. do the Battle of the Bands, they get on, and then they play not even a side stage, like a 2 feet off the ground little makeshift thing at 1 in the afternoon.
Oh, that's business, man. Hey, that reminds me, you did another meme this week that like went viral as shit.
I'm looking at it now. It has 882 shares and over 600 reactions just on our Facebook post, not including one that was, at least one I know of, that was screenshotted, saved to someone's computer, and then uploaded to their own Facebook page. And they included our little watermark that I had on it. So you could probably add another 100 shares and 100 likes on it because people are scumbags.
What was this meme?
This was the Winnie the Pooh meme where he's sitting in a chair looking kind of bored. And then underneath it is one of him in a suit with like a weird kind of smirk on his face. And the first normal looking Winnie the Pooh just says, booking a show and paying all the bands. And the second fancy-looking one says, booking a show with washed-up headliners, forcing 20 local bands to sell tickets, and calling it a, quote, festival. And that seemed to reach out to a lot of people.
Seems like a lot of people have these kind of remora, fucking leech-ass promoters within their community.
Tag your local venues and promoters, everybody.
You should have asked people to do that, but people did it anyway. My favorite is the fucking hero that tagged Fett Music Hall.
I'm sure they know, and I'm sure they don't care.
Yeah, I forget what that guy's name is, but maybe he'll threaten to fight us again.
I hope so. He has another one of those fests coming up.
Yeah, who is on that one?
Puddle of Mud, Sponge, and 40 Below Summer playing the outside stage.
That is rough, man. Like, Puddle of Mud, especially over the last, like, 5 years or so, there, Wes Scantlin has been clearly dealing with some kind of extreme mental issues. So if that's their big get, this is doomed. Also, I don't know what Sponge is.
You know the song. They had the song Plowed. It was they're like a 90s alt-rock band.
Huh. Let me, let's see, Sponge Plowed.
It's one of those songs where you don't know the band name, you don't know the song title, but as soon as you hear it, you go, oh, this song.
I'm watching the video right now, and they're clearly aping Stone Temple Pilots, which is kind of funny.
It was around the same time.
Like, their singer is trying to be Scott Weiland, like, oh, man, this is a... What the fuck is this? I'm going to play this audio. Oh!
See,
I know that song.
That's a lot of 90s like alt-rock bands. You might not know the name, but you go, oh yeah, this song, and you could even sing it.
That's not a bad song.
It's like how ingrained it is in us.
It's not a bad song. That's my hot take on this one. So, excited to see Sponge perform this one song at Fett Music Hall after sitting through 20 local headliners. And for some reason... a double set of that band that is clearly paid to be friends with the promoter.
I am very tempted to torture myself and go start to finish and do a review of this. Kind of like, if you remember, I think it might have been on Gawker years ago, where one of the reporters did the like eat appetizers all day and like ate mozzarella sticks for like 8 hours.
Oh yeah, the TGI Friday endless appetizer.
That's what it was. Just completely ruined my brain just for a couple of clicks.
Make Bruno go with you so we can ruin two brains.
You don't want me to fly you up?
I mean, if it's for a worthy cause, like a post that somebody will read for 5 minutes on Toilet of Hell and then forget about forever, I'm in.
Let's do it. This is what your Patreon money goes to, people.
Exactly. Fuck, man. I went to the post office yesterday, and I was ready to mail out the tapes for March, which, sorry, folks, I'm a little behind on because I was gone for 3 weeks, but they're out there now. The first post office I went to the self-service kiosk where I always spend at least 45 minutes putting all the fucking packaging on these things, and it had added, like, the scale wouldn't zero out. It would add an extra 2 ounce to every package, which would add an extra roughly $3 for every cassette. And I refused to deal with the tyranny of the Postal Service, so I drove all the way across town to another one.
So the money you would have spent sending out those packages combined with or compared to the money you spent using gas to drive across town evened out.
It did, but here's the thing. It's the principle of the matter. Well, one of these days I am going to buy my own postal scale because they're not that expensive, so I can just do this shit at home.
See, I don't even do the self-kiosk stuff at just about anywhere. I'd rather just deal with the human.
Well, here's the I don't know if it's kosher to go up to the counter with 25 cassette tapes and be like, here, you fucking deal with this.
They just weigh them all and then mark it off. I mean, I'm sure they're used to it.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, I'll give that a try next time before I drop $200 on a scale and a label printer. We'll see how it goes.
You know what? It sounds like you need some brain pills. I think that might help you deal with all this.
It does. I'm dragging a little bit. I spent all day in the sun yesterday doing yard work, and then I drank a lot afterwards. So I'm dragging, and I think what I need to reach peak performance is maybe some kind of supplement, maybe sold to me by one of my favorite artists. Does such a thing exist?
I think some people sell them. I know Alex Jones sells a lot of brain and virility pills to unleash the testosterone potential in your pituitary gland.
He has several, I think. One of them is, I believe, like Alpha Brain.
I don't think those pills are working, Mr. Jones.
I love it's such a modern grift that in a way reaches back to the old grifts. You know, you had the charlatan selling snake oil pills from town to town.
It's exactly what it is.
We have that now where every kind of piece of shit online personality has their own line of supplements, brain pills, tummy teas, which are laxatives, by the way, if you don't know, that they hawk on Instagram, or if you're, I don't know, even like the supposedly respectable child conservatives like Ben Shapiro sells Alpha Brain shit as well as survival buckets, which is Jim Baker model.
It's so funny to me that these same people that think vaccines cause autism and brain damage are willing to buy mystery pills from someone with a YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I had a weird moment, man. Like my job a couple of weeks ago, I was sipping on a cup of Kratom, as I am known to do. And my coworker asked me what that was, and I told her, and she was like, oh, is that anything like Alpha Brain? Because I've been taking that. It's okay. I'm like, no, this is a real thing.
Do they have a special Alpha Brain pill attuned specifically to women? Because it feels like they should. Like that would be a new appeal to them.
You've got Alpha Brain for men, of course, formulated for your masculine spirits. And then for the ladies, something attuned to your feminine humors.
So you don't get the vapors.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to come down with a case of chronic hysteria. One day we can just do a show all about old-timey medical malpractice.
You don't want dumb fever, do you?
So what brought this up is, well, any number of things. This is a... If there is a grift, you can find a niche for it. The metal sphere is not immune to this. Someone in the social club a little while back, and I had forgotten all about it, tuned me into High on Life Superfoods, which is not a brain pill, to be honest with you, but it also is.
It might as well be.
Yeah, it's like, packaged supplements of energy bars, omega blends, fruit and green powders, basically sugar powders that you add to your
water. Big words
that
don't mean anything, but sound like they mean something.
Exactly. And what was so interesting about this one is how whoever is behind High on Life Superfoods has contacts with roughly 5 metal bands and has made them exploit the shit out of this. The flagship artist on their endorsement roster is Gene Hoglan. You will know from Dark Angel, Testament Death, Death Clock, Anthrax, Strapping Young Lad, Opeth, literally everything.
And he's the picture of good health.
He is a chubby middle-aged man who keeps time real good, like.
He does. He's a very good drummer, and that's why everyone everywhere uses him.
It's true. Not to disrespect his skill, which he is clearly very skilled. It's just wondering, what the fuck, why are you on this? I guess guessing on every metal album that comes out every year isn't enough to pay the bills, so you gotta add to it a little bit.
So rather than owning a bunch of apartments and having passive income,
waves.
He just gives you, you know, mystery pills.
We didn't talk about Waves on the show because Waves is indie rock or whatever, but God, it's so funny to see one of the poster boys for, you know, slacker, weed addict, cool beach dude become a goddamn landlord.
We all get old. We all need money.
That's true. When people called him out on it, he was like, what? This is passive income.
Let me tell you about my scheme. My plan.
Well, clearly, they had some kind of deal with Dark Angel going, because they got Ron Reinhart, the vocalist of the band. They got Eric Meyer, the guitarist, all on this High on Life Superfoods train. They're all they're all giving their testimonials about how High on Life Superfoods turned them from a doughy middle-aged man into a Superman that can run for 10 to 15 miles and then fuck all night.
Sexual tigers of Death Angel.
They got Jason Bittner of Overkill and Shadows Fall, Alex Bent of Trivium. They got the bass player and guitarist of Ice-T's Body Count. Weren't able to get Ice-T himself. Ice-T's doing all right. He's got those Law and Order residuals coming in. He's fine. The drummer from fucking Devil Driver for some reason.
A lot of drummers.
They need superfoods the most because they're working the hardest on stage.
I'm just picturing that video of the drummer from Flesh God Apocalypse throwing up on his drum tech while playing.
Shout out to Angry Metal Guy, who tweeted earlier this morning a pre-order package that I had clearly missed. They did a deal with Fleshlight, so they were sold a shirt, this Fleshlight Apocalypse, with custom Fleshlights that, I don't know, maybe they're molded after the orifices of the members of
that
band.
Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on. I think that's really smart for a lot of tech bands, like really technical guitar players that people worship, and they have very loving fans, and I think they could probably sell a few. You know, you're telling me people wouldn't buy a Joe Satriani or a Steve Vai Fleshlight? I think they would.
Fucking with the alien.
Michelangelo body just going in two separate directions.
Oh my God. Fleshlight on Twitter, they were asking for who should we reach out to for internet personalities that we can maybe work a deal with, and I tagged Brenoside, but
I was just gonna say that.
As far as I know, they haven't followed up with him, which is a damn shame. There's no better internet personality than Breno.
it's gotta come with sound effects on it. Going, ugh.
She can press a button and he'll do his Jose Mangan impression. This is Jose Mangan and you're fucking the shit out of me.
Does another one, it's Dave Mustaine.
You're currently fucking the shit out of me.
Hi guys, how's everyone doing today?
I love this idea, and Fleshlight, you're fucking up, to be quite honest with you. Work with Breno. He'll bring in all kinds of, well, I wouldn't say new users, but maybe repeat visitors. High on Life Superfoods is a thing. They got a bunch of randos within the metal community working with them to sell their product, which I don't know, maybe is some kind of, I want to say this is kind of a pyramid scheme. Like, we give you a couple of cases, you move through them, then you make, you know, you can work your way up to a manager, and then you can get bands from lower levels to work under you and make you passive income.
And then you open a brick and mortar store.
Love it. Eventually, if you're good enough, you can open up a shop within a stadium like the fucking Amway did.
I was thinking like Herbalife.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. I can't believe Herbalife has been kicking this long. I remember when I was like a little kid, they had a brick and mortar for Herbalife in my shitty little hometown, and people all over were selling it. And in my neighborhood here, you know, fucking 20-something years later, half the cars have labels on the back like call me for Herbalife or call me for Scentsy or whatever the shit is the flavor of this week of horrific predatory pyramid scheme.
It's not the only pyramid scheme that you saw this week, though. You saw another one from a vocalist that we both have feelings on, and they're not positive feelings.
You know, I don't know if we've ever talked about this particular guy or this particular band on the show before. Maybe just once or twice. It's The Boys and Zahombia. Zahombia. Bad Wolves. Bad Wolves. And if I were to ask him, what's in your belly, it would be Ornax. Phytomax Stress Remedy, Better Body for Life Pills. sorry, Omax. Their logo is terrible.
It does look like Ormax.
Yeah.
Or Armax. Or, I don't know, it's kind of distracting because Tommy Vext of Bad Wolves is promoting this on his Instagram, and the picture he used to promote that is of himself naked with these pills in front of his crotch.
Yeah. If you live, you know, a hard, stressful lifestyle like Tommy Vext does, bear in mind, he died. So you're basically dealing with all the stresses of being both alive and undead. You need a little something to help you push you over the edge, to put you in relaxationville. And with that, you can get Omax Phytomax Stress Remedy to calm, relax, and relieve yourself. What's in it? Who the fuck knows? It says that it also contains CBD, which, as we all know, is incredibly... anybody that's ever taken CBD can tell you, I don't know if this is actually doing anything.
I think it just became, I don't know about if it became legal or relaxed in my state or like people just picked up on it. But over the past like 2 months, I've just seen all sorts of places advertising. We now have CBD. CBD is not marijuana. See, like all this stuff. And it's just like, I'm just going to keep driving. I don't want to stop here anymore.
I tried taking some CBD pills. Noticed absolutely nothing. I smoked some CBD bud. And aside from getting the sensation that I was smoking weed without the horrific realization that I was high, you just get that relaxing taste of weed without any of the pesky side effects.
Smooth.
Yeah. I love, he's been hawking this all over his Instagram, but I fucking love this shit. It's this naked beefcake with his Omax pills covering up his dick. And... just to really hit a home run of pandering, I'm going to go ahead and read from Tommy here. I posted some of the testimonials. Several DMs that really touched me were from combat veterans who've been struggling with PTSD. I was diagnosed with acute PTSD in 2011 after recovering from a home invasion assault that nearly cost me my life. My struggles are in comparison to the struggles of the men and women that brave the horrors of combat to uphold our freedom and safety on a global scale. Knowing that by sharing a product I was able to help my PTSD symptoms is now being used by heroes who found it on my social media platform really means the world to me. And I've been making the jerk off motion here for the last minute. I don't know if you can hear it or not.
So he's the real hero is what he's saying.
I'm just saying, you know, it's if you were to put him on an even keel, I'd say maybe Tommy Bex is a little bit braver than the troops.
If you put Omax pills on the screen before a football game, I would stand up and salute.
Exactly. You know, if you've been dealing with the trauma of realizing that you murdered civilians in a war of imperialism, maybe try these fucking sugar pills. The guy that does the cover of Zombie takes them, and he does okay.
The guy who was in snot for 6 months says it's okay.
Yeah. My pills, your mouth. That's a deep cut for snot fans out there.
I get it. I appreciate it. R.I.P. Lynn Strait.
So I don't know what to make of this. If you buy this, you're a fucking sucker. You goddamn rube.
I mean, it appeals to his fans, who they also reached out to a week or two ago asking what song they should cover for their new album.
Oh, my God. Did you see any choice picks on there?
I think just yours, where you said they should cover Zombie again.
They already did an acoustics cover of the cover that, you know, made them a lot of money. So they're clearly milking this shit dry. Maybe do like a Zydeco cover.
I think they should keep going with the female fronted 90s pop songs and just do Ace of Base. I saw the sign.
I love that idea. Yeah.
And just for the video, you have cops being shot at and, you know, a sad woman being handed a folded flag while he goes, I saw the sign and it opened up my mind. Yeah, I think that's perfect.
There's a fair amount of synergy there. Of course, the guys, or at least one of the guys in Ace of Base, was a fascist.
People don't know that. So I think it would work out for them. And if anyone questions them, just be like, oh, you know, they're not American, so it doesn't matter.
I love reading the suggestions that people came up with, because this is a real peek into the mindset of a person that is super into this kind of generic radio rock. Like this one fella suggested that they cover Stone Cold Crazy by Metallica, that song that we all know by Metallica.
Jeez, at least go with Hero of the Day or something.
Or the song that's actually by Metallica.
I could see them doing like a country song, like a pop country song that's about freedom and liberty. I think that would really mesh in well with what they do and what they're kind of going for and reach that type of audience. But that's not what we're here for.
Oh, my God. It happened again. This guy is – another guy is suggesting you cover Bad Company by Five Finger Death Punch.
Perfect. That's what they deserve. I mean, I was just going to suggest do a God Forbid song and see if anyone notices.
They might. There's, for some reason, a lot of God Forbid fans out there. I have no idea why. Oh, my God. This is sad, man. People suggesting Lynyrd Skynyrd tracks. It's Bad Company tracks, like another Bad Company track. It's all lives in the same just pit of like 15 songs, and they all suck. This is what we deserve.
Opeth, Laugh Under the Weeping Moon. How about that one? Give him something real complicated. Necrophagist, stab wound.
There we go. That's what I want to hear. Fuck. Somebody suggesting Fiona Apple. They might do it. Hey, going with 90s alt-rock ladies, like, that's the way to go.
I think a smart move for them.
I personally would like to hear them cover Linger by the Cranberries, because I love that song. I think that's a great-ass song. And number two, I think that they still have more cash that they can rip from Dolores O'Riordan's corpse. So, just throwing it out there, Tommy.
Take more brain pills so you don't have to ask people, so you can come up with the ideas yourself.
That's a good idea. Man, speaking of, like, just totally unnecessary covers... There was one that came out this week that is a band that you know and love. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, kind of out of nowhere. I don't even think this is on an album. I don't even know if they're recording another album or not. But Trivium put out a cover of Type O Negative's I Don't Wanna Be Me, which is weird. I know both Trivium and Type O Negative were on Roadrunner Records at the same time, I think when Trivium started and Type O Negative put out that album, and I really liked the song. It was kind of the first song that like made me get into them. It had a real funny video, and it had Type O Negative sound, but it was still kind of had their humor in it. And I listened to Trivium's cover yesterday, and it's okay. I think they wisely kept their own sound while covering the song rather than trying to sound exactly like Peter Steele or trying exactly to sound like the band. When you hear it, it's still Matt Heafy's vocals. It's still kind of their melodic-y, metalcore-y sound, which I think is fine. I think is the right move.
I haven't heard this cover yet, but did the guitars sound like they were recorded directly into a Pentium 2 laptop?
I mean, they have that modern, very clean sound to it, like overproduced sound to it. It's kind of like why people complain about Baroness's production for their new albums or the newer albums. It's just like, I don't think you like it because it doesn't sound super clean all the time. But regardless, this cover is fine. I don't think it really needed to exist. I'm not mad that they did it. I'm not like, oh, this is the worst. It's just kind of there. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. It just exists.
I think that's the realm that most covers live in. If you're like a modern rock guy, like we learned with the Five Finger Death Punch book, a cover of a classic rock song really plays well in Peoria, as it were. You know, it's not... it's not necessary. On our last show, I played Malignant Altar, which is a Houston band featuring members of Insect Warfare and a guy that I've known since I was like 18 doing vocals for some reason. It's kind of funny. They did a cover of a Celtic Frost tune, and I don't know. It's like a live cover, so it's audio on it isn't super great, but I like it a lot. But again, like it probably didn't need to like exist.
You know, there's a place in at least pop rock and the radio rock world of covering other pop songs. Limp Bizkit's Faith, for example, was like their first major single and made them a household name, more or less. I mean, it was their big jump start. And I think for a lot of bands, it's either their first single is how people learn who they are by covering a song, or you take a band like Disturbed, who covered The Sounds of Silence, and everyone and their mother loved that song, and it has, whatever, 20 million views on YouTube. So I think there's a business reason for making it work. Quiet Riot doing Come On, Feel the Noise.
Yeah.
Another good example.
That's you listed two that I think Limp Bizkit's cover of Faith, definitely a little different from the original. And I will tell you this, I prefer the Limp Bizkit version.
Oh yeah, me too. I think it's kind of, it makes sense for certain bands and certain realms to kind of do this. And I think when you kind of get more towards the metal world and covering other metal songs, unless you like love the song or love the band and do it in just like maybe a live setting or a recorded version, feels unnecessary and is kind of limp, like this Trivium cover.
Yeah, it makes sense to me if you're in a metal band to put this kind of thing out as a stopgap, like between bigger releases, just to keep interest, to keep people talking about you, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Which is, I guess, what like Malignant Altar was doing, because they released the demo. People love the demo. They're like, okay, well, let's put out a couple of other things while we can, you know, start writing more songs. I get it. I dig it. For some reason, just this subject made me think of the Cancer Bats. Do you know those guys?
I remember their name. They're British, right?
Yeah. And if you see pretty much in America, the only place that you see them is on the T-shirt of a man that is balding at the age of 23. For some reason, they're huge with that demographic. They did a cover of the Beastie Boys Sabotage, and it's terrible. It's just so fucking bad, because you removed, Sabotage is a pretty aggressive song. They're like yelling it the entire way. But it's like immediate, like there's shit going on. So you take a band that, you know, all of their vocals are yelling, but more professional like, and you just remove any kind of fun from the song. It seems unnecessary. Let's add that to the pile of unnecessary covers.
Yeah, I think timing has a lot to do with, like, Sabotage is not that old of a song either and was massively popular with people of our general age group. So
that video is iconic.
Classic video. And I think it's like when you have to go back further to like cover a well-known song, like going back and covering a Bad Company, for example. Our generation, at least majority wise, probably doesn't really know Bad Company, doesn't really remember that. So I think you can kind of get away with doing your own version of it while also kind of reaching the people who do remember it.
Exactly. So that's why I'm suggesting that Blood Incantation is a stopgap between their next record. Release a Tommy James and the Shondells song.
We're down for doo-wop metal.
It's coming. I just know it's coming. Actually, fuck. There is a record I can think of that that is basically that. It's not Mr. Bungle, but it does sound very bungly. We played it on one of our shows, and I wish I could remember their band. It's like Down In It, or I don't know. I don't want to. Down I Go. I'm talking out of my ass now. I can't remember. But yeah, I think Blood Incantation doing I Think We're Alone Now would be a pretty good one.
Tomb Mold doing Mr. Sandman.
Oh, fuck. That would be so... Those guys might listen to this show. So if you are listening, guys, please do that for us. I'm trying to think of like old shit that nobody cares about anymore. And the first thing that came to my mind is like Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Fats Domino.
Ooh, very good. Bo Diddley. Let's just name old shit.
Well, I think there's potential for that. I would listen to those covers, at least out of curiosity.
I'm wondering, like, I was listening to the Rolling Stones yesterday for some reason or another, and I was thinking about the joke on The Simpsons of Marge wearing the final No Kidding, No Fooling last tour ever for the Rolling Stones, like 1982. And I started thinking about Slayer and how Slayer is bullshitting, saying that this is their final tour, as you are clearly agree with.
I can't wait for them to announce their comeback tour. I'm counting down the days.
And I was thinking about this, like, what was the first band that bullshitted about their final ever tour? Because clearly The Simpsons got it with the Rolling Stones, claiming that they were breaking up in the 80s and then releasing another 12 records and God knows how many other tours. And I was thinking, like, Aerosmith has been bullshitting like this for a very long time. But who was the first one to do it? Was it, like, Lawrence Welk? Like, last tour ever, 1962, and all of the folks are like, oh, we better get tickets. This is the last one.
Well, I think, at least for major rock bands, like you said, the Rolling Stones and The Who.
Oh, yeah, The Who have been bullshitting for a very long time as well.
Decades. And now Black Sabbath / Ozzy.
Yeah, no more tours. We did no more tours in the 2000s, and he's doing no more tours again. So everyone's a liar.
And then they just hedge their bets. Oh, no more world tours. Or no more, you know, this is their last Australian tour. Just like, but you're still playing shows. It's not really the last of anything. A festival ponies up enough money, you're going to go to Big Day Out.
I could have sworn that Blink-182 broke up like a long time ago.
Well, they just got the guy from Alkaline Trio to play for them instead of the one that believes in aliens a little too much.
I got to say, it's a huge downgrade. I like the alien guy.
I don't know. I'm not going to go see them either way, so makes no difference to me.
Yeah, I saw them in high school when they were playing songs about when they were in their late 30s playing songs that were relevant to my life.
And now they're in their 40s singing songs about high school still.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it, man. I was listening to one of those fellas from Blink-182 on a video game podcast that I like. And it was, I don't know, it was very awkward, very strange to listen to. But he was like, he's like, whenever I write something new, I'm wondering, like, did I peak when I wrote Damn It? Because he thought that that was the best song he'd ever written. And I'm like, God, that is not a good song, man. That is very, very simple.
I mean, they've never really had complicated songs anyway, so.
Their self-titled record is, it goes to strange places, but this, rather than, I've already put myself in the quagmire here, saying that I'm a big fan of the self-titled Blink-182 record because it's weird.
Well, you're on a raft on your own with this one.
Yeah, there's a track that's just a 5-minute drum solo and it's pretty rad. Let's please save me from myself now.
Oh, you got to dig yourself out of this Blink-182 hole now yourself. You got to dig up, stupid.
I don't know how. I will give on a related note, if we're gonna talk about other podcasts on our own podcasts, a friend of mine and Kit's, Courtney, she has a podcast that she's been doing recently called This Ain't a Scene, It's a Goddamn Podcast.
Good name.
It's a really good name. It's all about every show is a discussion of one emo record that they were listening to in high school, and both of the hosts were they very much lived lives similar to mine, and that they had to deal with the weird evangelical church shit and trying to sneak secular records in the house.
Well, that's kind of where, like, the Christian metalcore scene kind of came in, isn't it?
Yeah, so they have a show that's about one of the Under Oath records, and that was a big thing for them. They were talking about this experience of going to a festival that Under Oath was playing on, and their folks not being so okay with it because they feared that it might be a little too secular. And in the process, like, they got to experience, like, doing drugs and, like, you know, all kinds of fun, typical teenager shit when you're not dealing with Jesus all the time.
Yeah, we're parents.
Yeah. So, you know, listen to our show exclusively, but there's only a couple of episodes of that one. I think that one's fun and worth checking out if you wanted to listen to people talk about a different genre for a moment or two.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
But you still don't listen to other podcasts, do you?
The only one I really listen to is Jim Cornette's wrestling podcast, just because he's really funny. He's really entertaining. He knows what he's talking about. He's politically in line with what we think. But it's mostly because I listen to all my audio at work, and it's easier for me to just listen to music and kind of have it on in the background rather than having to pay attention to, like, what people are talking about. So I used to listen to more podcasts, but really not in the past couple of years. It kind of just got on my nerves. And it's like, stop talking. I need to do work.
You sent me a clip from Jim Cornette's show, like, last week that I thought was hilarious, talking about basically Vince McMahon being a shitbag billionaire, his wife being a shitbag billionaire Republican politician, and him, you know, abusing the shit out of his employees for decades, and fools that think that they can somehow be billionaires.
Yeah, he's real smart guy, real funny. Highly recommend. Even if you don't like wrestling, you can kind of skip the wrestling talk, because he talks about politics regularly. So, and with his, you know, Tennessee accent, Kentucky accent.
I love the accent. Just his paws go, fuck you.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, so there you go. We have a couple of suggestions for other shows for you. I saw Shane from another metal podcast. Shane had brought up that sorry, I want to go ahead and give the full shout out. We did his show, he did our show. Shane over at Full Metal Hipster, he had pointed out that Metal Insider, that blog that you never go to, that only exists, seems to steal link traffic from us so it can be recycled by the rest of the Blast Beat network. They've got bad opinions there. They were talking about the guy from Aiden, which is one of those emo bands.
MySpace score bands. They were like the first band that was like just for MySpace that got signed, I think, to Victory.
Yeah, man, that's a fact. Popularized the Aiden, Jaden, Shaden band names.
Yeah.
There were some allegations against this guy about sexual impropriety, which a MySpace guy? Get out of here.
No.
Apparently, he was somehow able to beat these charges. So within the opening paragraph of this news story about it, they decided to the editor of this piece decided it would be a good idea to say that basically there have been a lot of false accusations about sexual misconduct growing every day because of Me Too. Did they bother to source that with any kind of data? No, because they just kind of feel it. It feels about right, right?
I have the actual article quotes that Shane tweeted out if you want me to run through them real quick.
Yeah, you want to do it?
Within the last 2 years, there have been a growing number of false accusations about sexual misconduct. In June of 2018, a Twitter account was created to accuse Tool/Perfect Circle frontman Maynard James Keenan of sexual misconduct, as he has since denied these accusations. And if you remember, he denied it through a tweet, and that was it. A real snotty tweet, by the way.
One single tweet, and it was, this...
Get off your phones.
This set the Tool fan base into a tizzy because they're the worst fan base in any kind of musical genre. And in such, we saw these dick riders that had put together detailed reports of how he selects women to fuck.
And I believe someone else pointed out where they were like a radio DJ and interviewed the Perfect Circle guys, and they had mentioned some sort of uncomfortable story as well. But regardless, back to this article. Back in January of 2018, all charges against the Polish death metal act Decapitated were dropped after spending half a year in jail following their arrest for being accused of rape and kidnapping after their show at the Pin in Spokane, Washington on August 31st, 2018, which isn't as simple as it sounds.
No, also they weren't dropped.
No. It was like with prejudice.
Yeah, so it's in such a way that they could be reopened. They were, like, temporarily withdrawn.
And it was citing the victim's health as the reason for it.
Yeah, because of all these fucking scumbags were attacking her because her name got out there.
And the article continues... False accusations causes a damage to the hashtag MeToo movement, as it has taken years for people to speak up on their experience. It's disturbing to see people taking advantage of this movement in such a horrifying way, which is, in some aspect, can lead to, once again, keeping victims silent.
Yeah, it's not at all this culture where you immediately shame victims. Yeah, I want to go on the record here and say Metal Insider can suck my fucking dick.
Total, utter bullshit.
I remember when Phil from All That Remains like called me a fag on the internet or whatever. A couple of the Blast Beat networks wrote stories about it. One of the guys from Metal Insider made it a point to defend that guy and his choice of verbiage against me. Like, and I don't care about any of that. Whatever, Phil's a dumbass. But I mean, you bent over backwards to eat that guy's asshole.
And Vince actually from Metal Sucks on Twitter pointed out that. This writer has also written articles about Taki, Horna, and another article that's Let's Dial Back the Speculation in the Holden Matthews case, which was the black metal guy who burnt the Louisiana churches that we talked about last week.
Let's hold on to these accusations. Yeah, so Metal Insider, full of chuds. It's a bullshit source that exists solely to scab up articles from better sources and aggregate them. And it sucks. I don't know if I mentioned that before.
It sucks. And it sucks even more when they don't. There's a lot of these aggregate places that do this sort of thing. Some do give credit, though they do it in a way where it's like, here's our article, but then... We mentioned that it's from Toilet of Hell without like linking to the article. And then there's ones that just take our information and our stories and point it as their own.
Yep. Fucking leeches. With bad politics, too.
So. And bad writing.
And bad writing. Let's not forget that. All in all, it's a pretty bad package. One of the worst metal publications out there. I mean,
but not the worst.
Not the worst, yeah. That crown still goes to Death Metal Underground. Shout out to one of the editors from Death Metal Underground, Nicholas Vadius, who spent the last week. He created a Twitter account pretending to be my wife and concocting elaborate sexual roleplay scenarios, tweeting at me with those. I know that Italy, is either Italy or France? One of those fucked up places. I know that they've got more libertine views on sexuality there, but around here, when you role play as another man's wife, that shit is sus as fuck, bro.
I think he revealed a lot of himself that he didn't intend to.
I don't know, man. The Death Metal Underground politics are very traditional values around sexuality or whatever. So this guy clearly has some things to work out. Yeah, it's so fucking lame.
What a dork.
Yeah. Anyway, man, we're at the hour. Is there anything else that we should add to this one?
We miss you, Breno. Feel better.
Yeah, man. Next week we should have Breno on. I've got a whole slate of interviews that I have neglected to schedule, and I'm going to get back on those. So we'll have some chats with some top dogs in the metal scene, and it won't just be us chuckling about pyramid schemes and bad covers and such.
And Flesh God Apocalypse sex toys.
And I promise we'll never bring up emo ever again on this show.
Not true. You know that's not. Don't make promises you can't keep.
Fair. I've been Joe Thrash and Kill. Who have you been?
I've been, well, I guess if we're just going to drop it, Jordan.
Yeah. I think what you should do, if you're listening still, if you didn't close out the window already, you should subscribe to us on Patreon so you can get these bonus shows, because I got a couple things up my sleeve for you, including we're going to read K.K. Downing's book together and get all the insight into the inner drama within Judas Priest. And we're also going to have Pat on of our sister podcast so that we can argue about the Coen brothers.
That's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to that.
That is going to be a lot of fun. We've all watched every one of the movies so that we can do this one. And there's a lot of fucking movies.
Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Toilet of Hell, at Joe Thrashingill, at 365 Days of Horror, at That's Not Metal. Like us on Facebook. And you can always send us an email at toiletofhellradio@gmail.com.
Do the things, pals. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Get your gun, take it on the run, on the run, on the run. Hear them calling you and me, every son of liberty. Hurry right away, no delay, go today. Make your daddy glad to have had such a lad. Tell your sweetheart not to pine, to be proud her boy's in line. Over there, over there, send the word over there, that the Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming, the drums rum coming everywhere.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.